The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, our ABC NHL matchup has the Flyers in Raleigh to take on the Hurricanes, who continue to lead the Metropolitan. Our coverage begins 3 Eastern. That's on ABC.
A very happy birthday to our Raleigh Spears.
I'm lucky to be back on Get Up.
You ready for your head to explode, G?
With two-time Hall of Famer Michael Greenberg.
It's not pretty in here this morning. He's got the hand that kind of goes in a whole bunch of different directions.
I hate cats.
He's a Bengal named Lamar.
The fact that you can make the bottom half of your face do that, I think, is just fantastic.
I like Monday Dan, but now we got Stan Dan.
Dom, fix your left collar.
When you got a face like this, no one's looking at the collar.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
If I have to choose between the next 5 years, Russell Wilson or Justin Herbert, I am taking Russell Wilson. You are high. Very high.
Get out.
Stop doing that.
Bill Belichick is the smartest head coach of all time, and he could be the OC if he wants to.
I don't know what the hell Nico is talking about.
I'll go get my rings. I'll show you how they look.
Oh,
them nice.
You know a thing around too, but I'm just keeping a fist, okay?
This is crazy. Peace.
It's been a fun week, although that one got a little heated there, right?
A little bit.
Anytime rings come out.
Nico went and got his rings, and I got a little nervous. But with that, we got a great morning working here. So glad you've chosen to get up. We are live at the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Tons of football on the menu coming up. But there's only one place to begin this hour, and that's in Philadelphia last night. Monica McNutt, it began with all the talk about Ben Simmons. What'd you think of the reception?
Honestly, it was exactly what we thought it would be, and the Nets showed up and supported their guy in their performance.
And the fans, a little creativity from that one there. But Harden did not hold up his end of the bargain. James Harden, a tough night.
He had one of his worst nights statistically in terms of the ability to score. Just 17%, 3-17 from the field, and honestly didn't look engaged at all after about halfway through the second quarter.
You know who did? Was Kevin Durant.
That part, Greeny, and on a mission, knocked down 5 out of 5 of his first field goals, was willing to lend his body to the cause defensively, and of course he's going to bounce back and talk that talk because he was fired up.
Man, we've seen that before between those two guys. KD showed up to play last night in every conceivable way, and then the turning defense into offense.
This is, again, the carryover from the Nets' defensive performance versus the Hornets. Oh, and by the way, Kyrie picked up where he left off.
They closed the first quarter on a 14-2 run, and from there, they basically never looked back.
Granted, the Nets needed this game more in terms of getting off the losing skid, but they showed up, and there were no questions about their performance.
How about KD here with that move?
Easy money sniper. Like, there's not a better Twitter handle for a guy that is just that. He makes it look so easy.
He would score 25, and then don't sleep on Seth Curry.
Seth Curry, Bruce Brown, Andre Drummond, even though he got hurt, Nick Claxton, the supporting cast of the Nets understood the magnitude of this moment, and they didn't waste an opportunity either. Speaking of, a little defense from Bruce Brown. Let's go.
And he throws it down on the other end. This was never a game in the second half. If it was a fight, they would have stopped it in the third quarter. A statement made by Brooklyn. They win by 29.
Most definitely, I think all of us were. You know, we look at Ben as our brother, you know, so we knew that this was a hostile environment and we knew that he didn't have an opportunity to play, so we wanted to come out there and had him focus on the court more so than just always focusing on him. So they focused on the court tonight, and it's hard for you to chant at Ben Simmons when you lose him by that much.
We got our ass kicked, and, you know, since I've been here, everything has been, you know, sweet, and you know, we've been winning games, and so tonight was good for us, and we get an opportunity to come down to reality, you know, watch film and just continue to get better and making sure we hit the right strides.
Yes, the first game they've lost that he's played since this trade, and as Monica said, it was one of the worst games he's ever played. He scored 11 points, shot under 18%. You see the numbers up there on your screen. He's actually on that list twice But that's how bad it was last night. And Big Perk, when we talked about this earlier this morning, you weren't yet with us on the program, and that's your former teammate. You played with James Harden at the very beginning of his career. I guess I would ask it this way. If you're a big fan of the Sixers, how concerned are you by what we saw with a guy who has a history of not playing big in big games in what we saw last night?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
He's speechless. He's absolutely stunned. I think that what happened there is Perk is so taken away by the performance of James Harden, and obviously also doesn't have the ability to hear me yet. Zach, I'll ask you the same question. How worried are you if you're a Sixer fan this morning?
I'm not that worried because it's just the regular season, but he does have a history of, like, when it's easy and the team's rolling and I'm up 10 in Detroit or Orlando or in game one of a playoff series, everything's great. The step back's flowing. He's got the pop in his step. When it gets hard, and it was clear right away last night that Nets were going to make this hard, it just doesn't seem like he's as engaged in the game. The moment it gets hard, there's just a little bit of a retreat, and we've seen that movie before, and they can't afford to have him see it again. Like I said before, no one in the NBA is under more pressure in these playoffs than James Harden.
So Zach, I don't mean Monica and I are going to yell at you again as we did in our first hour. What do you mean you're not that concerned? How could you not be that concerned about James Harden after last night, considering his history?
Because it's one game. I know the history. It's game 6 for him in Philadelphia. I'm not going to overreact too much to a regular season game. But the moment I see this in the playoffs, and maybe this portends that, then I will react accordingly. But right now, it's still their 5-1 with Harden. They've been dominant with Harden and Embiid. They didn't have a couple of players that they're going to need last night, including Danny Green, who's a sneaky big part of their team. So I'm not. Maxey didn't have a big game. Like, a lot of things went wrong last night for the Sixers.
I'm told that we have Big Perk back, so let me come to you. Big Perk, if you're a Philadelphia fan, and I'll remind everyone again that you played with James Harden when he was a very young player, so you know him really well. How concerned should the fans in Philly be based on his history and last night's performance?
Hey, I mean, you should have some level of concern, but I wouldn't overreact. Look, this is just a humbling situation for them. And here's the thing that they have to realize, that we have been talking about all the MVPs and mentioning Ja Morant, DeMar DeRozan, Embiid, and Jokic, but they actually faced the best basketball player in the world last night in Kevin Durant. And as though I think it's not a debate. But as far as James Harden, like, he's a guy that have these moments. But I would not lose confidence in a guy that has led the league in scoring for three years. I would not lose confidence in one of the most prolific scorers to ever touch the damn basketball. And we know that James Harden will bounce back. It's just that last night, he didn't know that Kyrie Irving was going to be at him like that. And he wasn't ready for the moment.
Why would
what
that
in
be?
The Perk, why would he not expect that? You got to help me with that, Perk, because why would he not expect that? Please, because I don't understand how you're not prepared.
Well, let me explain something to you. Sometimes as a player, like we talked about the emotions of Ben Simmons, it was some emotions of James Harden. And it could either go all the way right or all the way left. Like, do you think that James Harden didn't make any excuses in his post-game interview?
This is true.
Which he couldn't. But do you think for one second that he didn't have emotions? Or did you think for one second that he didn't want to just get this first game out the way as well? Now, I'm not making an excuse. He didn't show up last night. But what I'm saying is, if we are seriously going to sit up here and say that we expect this James Harden for the remaining of the season and in the postseason, we all are fooling ourselves. Like, he will bounce back. Like, he will have better games. He will play better if they played against the Brooklyn Nets. Like, I'm not just about to sit up here and say, oh, James Harden is going to be a no-show. Like, I'm not going to do that.
I hear what you're saying, and here's why I disagree. Because for this team, it is championship or bust. Mm-hmm. If this team doesn't beat the Nets in a series, if they play each other, if they don't beat Milwaukee or Miami or whoever it is, if they don't wind up in the NBA Finals, then this was a failure. So it's not about him bouncing back and having good games. I get that he's going to have good games. But Kevin Durant showed up to play last night. Mm-hmm. Kyrie showed up to play last night. Embiid showed up. He didn't play well, but he showed up and looked like he was ready for somebody. And Harden looked like this game was just kind of in the way of something else he'd rather be doing. And we've seen that far too many times, Monica.
I love the way you described that, Greeny, because I think you nailed it. And you're right. Organizationally, it's championship or bust. But, Zach, you said it. This is the most pressure and the most eyeballs that have been on James Harden because of how he wound up with the Philadelphia 76ers. Perk, I get you. Emotions make us do interesting things. But this, to me, was not the way to handle that, I guess, journey of processing the trade and so on and so forth. The disinterest is problematic. Has he been terrific historically in the regular season? 100%. But even you know that when the lights get brighter and we've gone to playoff mode, there have always been questions around James Harden's ability to show up. And last night, all that did was bring all those skeletons out the closet.
Yeah, and that's fine. We all have skeletons. But the thing is, I've seen James Harden bounce back from games like this.
They
like
play
I've
Orlando. Seen him he better bounce back.
Bounce back.
That's
like,
the next game.
Like, no, but listen, I'm talking about in the postseason. Like, I didn't watch James Harden have horrible nights and then bounce back the next day, Monica. And if you want to sit down and mark this day down when the postseason start, let's revisit this conversation and talk about the James Harden that we're going to see
what,
in the postseason.
We can absolutely revisit it, but I don't want to talk about a game one or two. I want to talk about a game five, six, or seven. Let's have that conversation.
Let me give Zach the final word on this. Go.
She's right, because James Harden's best playoff games, I went back and looked at all of them, all his biggest clutch games, all his best playoff games, all his best last 5 minutes, they've typically been down 3-0 in a playoff series. Game one, what's the signature moment of James Harden's playoff career? Does he have one since the shot against the Spurs in 2012? I don't know. And to your point, Monica, you said before, he wasn't prepared for Kyrie Irving or somebody. Perk said he wasn't
Perk
prepared
said that, yep.
for Kyrie Irving's defense. That's fine. Kyrie Irving doesn't defend like that all the time. I'm more concerned with how did he respond when that reality hit him in the face and he didn't respond.
All right, Perk, I'll give you the final word. Go.
No, see, listen, I was on the team with James Harden when we went to the finals. I watched James Harden go for 24 points in the fourth quarter to close out of Dallas Mavericks, who was the defending champions. I watched James Harden on the road against the San Antonio Spurs in the Game 5 take over the game with KD and Russell Westbrook on the floor. Again, I'm not going to doubt James Harden.
Hey,
I was right there in those moments.
That was 10 years
you're too 10 close years to ago. This, and you're too close to this. You're too close to this, Perk. That's all. What have you done for me lately?
I'm going to leave it there. The football crew is revved up and ready to go. We're coming back to this. We're coming back to this game. We have to talk about the Brooklyn of it all. We'll get to it. But it has been an enormous week of big news in the National Football League, and let's count the ways. It started Tuesday. Aaron Rodgers announcing he's staying in Green Bay, ending speculation that he would be moving elsewhere this coming year. It ended basically 11 months of that conversation. On that same day, another star quarterback was on the move. Of course, Russell Wilson traded from Seattle to Denver after 10 seasons and one Super Bowl championship in Seattle. The following day, Wednesday, Carson Wentz on the move for the second time in as many off seasons. Colts trading the former Eagle back to the NFC East. He's now in Washington. And then yesterday on the defensive side, the Chargers dealing for Bears linebacker Khalil Mack, sending a pair of draft picks to Chicago in the deal. So all these good AFC teams getting better and better, and this is where it leaves us, according to Caesars. You see Denver on that list there, all of a sudden jumping up among the favorites in the entire league to win the championship. On our football squad today, D. Wood is with us. Chris Canty is in our studio. And Kmart, I start with you. The AFC is loaded, and so it does feel like a matter of keeping up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. And as free agency begins next week, it hasn't even started yet.
Nope.
Should we be expecting some of these other AFC teams to be making quarterback moves?
I think they need to. Because, like you said, this is before this week, even at the Pro Bowl, players were talking about how the AFC is loaded with young, talented quarterbacks. And guess what? Now we have Russell Wilson in the AFC. This is a division, this is a conference that if you are not set at quarterback, forget it. Just forget it. Because you're not winning your division, you're not going to the playoffs because there's so many good quarterbacks here.
We talked about the Colts earlier. I want to bring up the Steelers as well. They're another team.
Yeah.
Well, I had tried to put Russell Wilson there over the course of the last few weeks.
Me too.
And we didn't get it done. Should we be expecting a big move from Pittsburgh?
So the interesting thing about the Steelers is when I was at the scouting combine, I talked to people about them. And the one word that came up when I asked about the Steelers was cheap. They're a team that's not, people told me they're a team that's not going to go crazy, going to give up a lot of draft picks, especially with their current GM, Kevin Colbert, on the way out. He wouldn't want to leave the organization in a situation where next year they don't have high draft picks. And they're not a team that's going to go out and spend a lot of money. I hear that. However, I spent a lot of time in the AFC North, and I just watched the Bengals go to the Super Bowl, been in Cleveland, don't expect Baker to play as bad as he did last year because of the injury. The Ravens are not going to be down. This is a conference where there are so many quarterbacks. If the Steelers come out with Mason Rudolph, it ain't it.
Well, let me tell you what they're not going to do. Y'all start the season with Mason Rudolph as QB1. That's not going to happen. But I think the Steelers are going to look at the NFL draft as an opportunity to add a quarterback. Malik Willis is a name that keeps coming up. He's projected in Todd McShay's latest mock draft to go to the Steelers with the 20th overall pick. Everybody keeps raving about the arm talent. Our very own Dan Orlovsky tweeted out this morning, if Malik Willis was 6'5", we'd be talking about him being a top five pick.
Right.
I mean, everybody was wowed by that. But this is an organization that has had success with a quarterback on a rookie deal. Ben Roethlisberger won the Super Bowl in his second year.
I hear you. But Malik Willis is going to be a rookie next year, and so is Kenny Pickett, who's the kid from Pitt, who's the other one who's projected to go in the first round. Can this team go into next year with a rookie quarterback going up against all this murderer's row of quarterbacks?
Well, what's your alternative? If you're going to go the route of Jimmy G, he all of a sudden is the third best quarterback in the division behind Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, and it's going to cost you significant draft capital in order to get him because teams recognize how desperate those squads are. So I don't know if that's necessarily the path that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to go down.
D-Wood, what are the Steelers need to do?
Pray.
Preach and pray.
It's real. Hey, man, where the Steelers messed up, man, is they held on to Big Ben Roethlisberger a little bit too long, man, because right now you're in a situation, you're in a bind at the quarterback position. All these other teams in the AFC got these young guns locked in, ready to go. And here the Pittsburgh Steelers are with Mason Rudolph and Haskins and some second-tier quarterbacks out there and potentially the draft. We don't think of the Pittsburgh Steelers team as a rebuild. They are a reload type of team, but who are they going to pick up?
Can I throw a name
at you? At the quarterback position?
D. Wood.
Go ahead.
How about Jameis Winston? Would Jameis Winston solve this problem for you? He's going to be expensive, but you don't have to trade anybody to get him. Would Jameis Winston answer this question?
Jameis, hey, listen, I like Jameis Winston. But Jameis Winston, he ain't Joe Burrow. Jameis Winston ain't Lamar Jackson. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Justin Herbert. And he damn sure ain't Patrick Mahomes. So, listen, I don't know. I don't have the answer, Greeny. I really don't. I really don't. They're in a quarterback conundrum right now.
I get it. But on their list of options is not getting Joe Burrow or Josh Allen. So they got to do the best they can do.
With Ben Roethlisberger on one leg, they did make the playoffs.
Right.
So you get somebody. Jameis, I actually like the fit. And there are people in that building that do like Jameis and are high on him. So I could see that working.
Jameis Winston, when he came out, people were comparing him to Ben Roethlisberger. We've seen that work. Let me take a quick break. I got so much going on. Seth Greenberg just walked in the room. My uncle, Seth Greenberg, no relation, is ready to go next. Despite some bumps, Coach K clearly has a strong team in his final season. Is it Final Four good? Selection Sunday is this weekend. And we got Seth in studio next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Selection Sunday is 2 days away. Let's run the floor through some of the big conference action from yesterday. In the Big Ten, Indiana came from 17 down in the second half to beat Michigan in Juwan Howard's first game back from suspension. With that win, Indiana creeps into Joe Lunardi's last four in. Well, Michigan is also in, according to Joe. They're projected as an 11 seed. In the Big 12, big surprise, Oklahoma upset Baylor to keep its NCAA tournament hopes alive. The Sooners are one of Joe Lunardi's first four out. And despite the loss, Baylor still is projected to be a 1 seed, according to Joe. ACC, Duke held off Syracuse behind a team-high 26 points from Wendell Moore Jr. They take on Miami in the semifinals tonight, 7 Eastern. Syracuse finishes 16-17, first losing record in 46 years under Jim Boeheim. And so my uncle Seth Greenberg, no relation, is in here. He's doing all the ACC work for us at Barclays here in Brooklyn, so right across the river. What was most impressive about Duke in that game yesterday?
The first half, they got seduced and shot a bunch of threes. In the second half, they pounded that thing inside, 26 points in the paint. But more importantly, it was their upperclassmen. We spend all our time talking about Paolo Banchero and A.J. Griffin. And in the end, it was Wendell Moore, his floor game, him making plays. It was Jeremy Roach knocking down three-point shots in the second half, which was so, so important for this basketball team. And it was Mark Williams' defense up front. But their ability to attack the paint, pound the paint, pound the paint in the second half was the difference in this game. And then they closed the game out on a 10-0 run. So they made good decisions down the stretch. Took time to settle into the game. And that's going to happen in the NCAA tournament. When there's pressure on you to win, it takes time to settle into a game. But I thought they settled into the game. I thought they defended better in the second half. And they pounded that thing inside with their veteran players.
Is this a Final Four team? Now, you know what they look
like. Oh,
it's
a Final Four team. There's no doubt about it. Will they be a Final Four team? If they continue to close out games, they will be a Final Four team. They got to close out games. They've got to be best at the end. And I think Wendell Moore is a big part of that. The experienced players, the guys that have been there and understand the pressure, they've got to lead the way. At the end of a game, your veterans got to lead the way. You might play through Banchero, but Moore, Roach, and Williams up front, his ability to change the game defensively, that will be the difference to them getting to the Final Four.
Okay, so anyone who knows me knows that what I do is when it's time to fill out the brackets, the sheets of integrity, I've got all these guys on text. And so I'm texting Billis and Seth and all of my friends. Who do we like here? Who do we like there? So give me a sleeper. Give me a team that everyone, as we sit down to watch the brackets come out on Sunday, you should be watching to see where they wind up.
Greeny, you're not going to like this. This team dropped 62 in the first half against your team yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's Iowa. Iowa. Keegan Murray is one of the best players in the country. He's going to be the fourth, fifth, or sixth pick in the NBA draft. 6'8", can shoot the three, can beat you off the bounce, rebounds the ball, terrific passer, can protect the rim. This is an elite offensive team. They play at a warp speed, great passing team. Iowa's a team, because they've improved defensively, will make a run in the tournament.
But the Big Ten is so good. I mean, they were the fifth seed. They are the fifth seed in the Big Ten tournament, and they did. They blew out Northwestern yesterday. We'll see if they make a run here.
Well, Virginia scored 13 points yesterday in the first half. Iowa had
62 points against Northwestern. Yeah, Iowa, I completely agree.
Sorry, Greg, the big fellow over there.
That's
big
a team that was.
He's a lot much bigger than me.
You should see how angry Chris Canty looks on the other side of our studio. Do we have a shot of that? Oh, yeah, look at him. Chris. He's got an issue.
I worked there in 84. We went to the Final Four. It was a great place.
Wait. Let me ask you about the other side of it. Who should we be watching as a team that will be on a pretty high seed line that you'd be a little worried about?
I think Texas. Texas, they just can't score. I mean, they really struggle offensively. You know, preseason, some people had them in the Final Four, top 10, top 15. This is a team brought in 6 new players, obviously, through the transfer portal. Good players, but not great players. Guys that don't impact winning on the offensive end. They don't have one guy to go through to play through. At the end of a game. They don't have one guy to go to that can just go get him a bucket. Timmy Allen's a nice player. He's a cutter. He's a slasher. Texas overvalued. I'll tell you the other team that's undervalued.
Yeah.
North Carolina. Their talent level is well above their seed line. Remember that, Greeny.
Well, we're going to see them on ESPN tonight, so we will get a good look at that. Stick around. I want to get your thoughts on the Sixers and the Nets last night as well. We'll have more of that. And again, the ACC tournament continues. We will have Coach K and Duke tonight against Miami. Pardon me, that's 7 Eastern. And then we will see Virginia Tech continuing this magic carpet ride against the aforementioned Tar Heels of North Carolina. That's coming your way tonight from Brooklyn here on ESPN. Meanwhile, good week for the Broncos, landing an elite quarterback. We'll tell you why the news may get much better in Denver and worse for the rest of the AFC. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up. And yesterday, former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick tweeted a video of himself working out with the caption, "Still working." Kaepernick is still hoping to make a return to the National Football League. And our Adam Schefter tweeted, "With so many teams at need of quarterback depth, is now the time Kaepernick can make an NFL roster." He sees here the tweet, Colin Kaepernick working out, says to be, in the words of one source, in the best shape of his life. He wants to play. He's ready to play. He'd be a great fit for teams with QB vacancies to fill who want to win a Super Bowl. It's been a long time since we've seen Colin Kaepernick on an NFL field, and obviously so much has happened. We don't have time to go through all of it. So I guess I would ask you, Kmart, do you think that there is a chance that after all this time, a team will bring in Colin Kaepernick?
Part of me feels that he deserves a shot because Colin Kaepernick, let's be honest, he was robbed of that fair opportunity to try to make a roster 5 years ago. The fact that he hasn't played in so long is what gives me pause. And the same teams that didn't sign him all these years or bring him in for workouts all these years, now in 2022, are they going to be interested in taking a chance? I think someone should, but I just feel like the window has closed because so much time has been missed on the field.
What do you think, Chris?
Kmart, I hear you, but I don't feel you on that one. Colin Kaepernick is still in his early 30s, and it's hard to make the case that he doesn't deserve an opportunity in the NFL when we saw Mike Glennon, Geno Smith, and Case Keenum all start multiple games this season. So it's hard to say that those guys are better quarterbacks than Colin Kaepernick.
Saying.
And the one thing that I will say about it, in terms of where the NFL is going with the skill set that they want from their quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick showed that over a decade ago.
There's a question of whether he deserves a shot or whether teams will be interested in giving him a shot. Those are two different things, and that is what gives me pause, because anyone I talk to in the league, they say, okay, cool, workout video. The workout video didn't move the people that I spoke to.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me hesitant to say that he will get a shot, although I think he deserves one.
I think that's fair. I think both of you are right. I think I asked you the question specifically, do you think he will get a chance? And you said no. Do you think he should get a chance?
Yeah.
You're saying yes. Dee Wood, how about you? Do you think he will and do you think he should?
Yeah, to answer your first question, Greeny, I don't think he will. I think the simple fact that he's been out of the league 5 years, you know, tells you everything you need to know about where the NFL kind of, you know, feels on Colin Kaepernick situation. Now, that your second question, should he get a shot? I do believe he should get a shot. Greeny, we sit here every day talking about how teams are looking for quarterbacks. We've seen Sunday after Sunday some of the starting quarterbacks that we see in the National Football League. There's no way you can tell me that Colin Kaepernick doesn't even deserve a shot. You know, I'm not even talking about starting. Backup? Like, really? The type of quarterbacks that we see in the National Football League? Come on. I he should get an opportunity, but I just don't see it happening.
Look, let's just say it for what it is. It is insulting to the intelligence of anyone listening to suggest there are 64 more qualified people walking the face of planet Earth than Colin Kaepernick to play quarterback. The New York Giants started a game last year with a quarterback that they so didn't trust in the backfield that they actually ran quarterback sneaks from inside their own 10-yard line last year. And Colin Kaepernick can't even get an opportunity. Look, let's make a value judgment. Let's not pretend this is about football. Let's not pretend that this is about his inability to play. We can have all the other conversations if we want to. But clearly, the reason that he will not, and I agree with you, he probably will not, has nothing to do with whether he would be good enough to make an NFL roster.
But if there was ever a time, because the kneeling, The NFL owners, they've moved past that all of a sudden. The kneeling doesn't bother them anymore. You know, we've talked about social justice and Black Lives Matter. Like, now everybody has done a 180 in the league. So if there's ever a time where we're talking about so many QB needy teams, this would be it, right? Because there are only so many veterans to go around. This isn't the best talented draft class like it was last year when it comes to quarterbacks. So you would think if there was a time, if there was a team that was interested, now would be it. We're going to see if that happens.
Chris Canty, there were players who started NFL games last year whose best games of their career were not as good as Colin Kaepernick's worst games of his career. So, again, I will make the point. There are a million different conversations that can be had about Colin Kaepernick, the person. There are almost none, I think, that can be reasonably had about Colin Kaepernick, the player. You can debate whether he was, at his best, an elite quarterback or not. You cannot debate that there are 64 better quarterbacks than he is at this point or at any point.
No question about it, but I got to co-sign and retweet what Kimberly Martin just said. It's really about what Colin Kaepernick stands for, and the NFL owners being, I don't know, a little bit tempered about potentially bringing him in just because they know that he could potentially alienate a segment of their fan base that still has strong feelings about the issue. So it's about their business model. It's about their bottom line. And it seems like they've made the decision that Colin Kaepernick is bad for business.
D Wood, give me a final word. Go ahead.
No, listen, I echo exactly what Chris Candy said. You know, it has nothing to do with on the field. We've seen a lot of dumpster fire at the quarterback position, you know, over the past few years playing quarterback. This is about, you know, the business model, bottom line. Don't want to alienate a segment of the fan base. And that's what the NFL has decided to do, to just kind of give a stiff arm to Colin Kaepernick.
All right, we will see. Maybe it will be a big surprise next week. We will find out. In the meantime, free agency does begin in earnest next week. And so let's match some big-name free agents with new teams. Chris Canty, what is the best fit for Von Miller?
Von Miller staying with the Rams. Let's bask in the glow of that Super Bowl 56 championship, and let's run it back. Von Miller, 9 sacks in the 12 games that he played for the L.A. Rams, and he had the highest pass rush win rate in the postseason. After giving some of that Southern California sunshine on his face, I have a hard time seeing Von Miller decide to go somewhere else.
All right, let's try another one here. D Wood, what's the best fit for Teron Armstead?
Man, the Cincinnati Bengals. Every offensive lineman that comes up, I'm putting them with the Cincinnati Bengals. We saw Joe Burrow basically running for his life the whole whole postseason. Give all the offensive linemen to the Cincinnati Bengals and give Joe Shiesty a chance to go out there and cook on the field.
I can't, I'm coming back to you. How about Tyrann Mathieu? What is the best fit for him?
I like him with the New England Patriots, and that's a little bit spicy. They seem like they're poised to lose J.C. Jackson. They're probably going to lose Devin McCourty, both in free agency. Bring in somebody that can be the quarterback of that defense on the back end. Tyrann Mathieu has shown the ability to impact the defense on all three levels. The kind of guy that has the versatility that Bill Belichick loves. Tyrann Mathieu, come on down. Hard to believe that he's just 29 years old, but there's still some tread left on that tires. I think Bill Belichick will see the value in that.
Okay, and so you take a look at some of the notable free agents that are out there. There's a bunch of names on that screen, you know, and a bunch of potential difference makers on that screen as well. And so, with that beginning next week, I will ask each of you to pick a move you would like to see beyond, pardon me, what we just talked about. Canty, I'll start with you. What is a move, a match made in heaven that you'd like to see happen next week?
Bobby Wagner following Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos. The Broncos had a top 10 defense in yards. They had a top 5 defense in points scored. Both of their inside linebackers are unrestricted free agents. It seems like it's a natural fit. You got the quarterback of the offense. Now go get the quarterback of your defense in Bobby Wagner. Seems like it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, he's going to have, as Kimberly said earlier, a robust market. D. Wood, give me a move Kmart is next on our screen. Kmart, give me a move you'd like to see.
So I actually disagree with Chris. I want to see Von Miller back home in Denver. I think he should leave LA because it actually was difficult, more difficult than people realize, for him to go to LA and stay there because he loves Denver so much. Now you got Russ there. Run it back and win a Super Bowl back-to-back. Von Miller in Denver makes too much sense to me.
I like it. And then finally, D. Wood, give me one you'd like to see. How about a free agent move you're looking for?
Yeah, how about J.C. Jackson with the Los Angeles Chargers? I mean, we're talking about Justin Herbert, a superstar at the quarterback position on a rookie deal. Man, load up. Continue to load up on the defensive side of the football. We saw the, you know, the trade for Mack going over there to pair with Joey Bosa. Add another secondary piece on top of that. Man, now let's watch the Los Angeles Chargers cook.
Okay, it's going to be fascinating. I'll remind everyone, for all of the exciting moves that have happened, free agency has not yet begun. The best is yet to come, and we'll be talking about it. In the meantime, last night was fascinating. KD and the Nets, they showed up in a big way. James Harden did not. Why Brooklyn made a statement and Sixers fans are nervous. We're diving back into that in a moment. And we have Sneaky Hembo. And this one's so sneaky, we're going to have two guys take a crack at it. Zach Lowe and Seth Greenberg. Who is the all-time leading scorer in the history of the Nets-Sixers rivalry, which dates back to 1976? That's the question. The answer's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and we've got Sneaky Hembo. This one's so sneaky, we're going to let two different contestants take a crack at it. So, Nets Sixers last night. Great game. Rivalry goes back to 1976. Who's the all-time leading scorer in the history of the rivalry, meaning in games against each other? Seth, you're first.
You know, a part of me says, like, Dr. J played for both teams. I just don't know how many games he played against the Sixers as a Net in the NBA. Then I got Charles Barkley. You know, I'm going to go back to Dr. J.
Okay, one vote for Dr. J. What do you think, Zach?
I think he wants us to think Dr. J. So I'm going to keep it simpler and pick a Sixer who scored a lot of points for a long time. I'm going to go Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson is second.
Ooh!
Dr. J is correct. Seth's got it.
Bam!
Dr. J, 1,217 points. But I will say this.
That's a double win. 1-2. We got 1-2. That's a double win.
Let me say this. He scored them all as a Sixer. The Sixers and Nets, because when the Nets came into the NBA, he moved over to the Sixers, so they didn't play each other. Candidly, the Sixers could have used him last night against the Nets. For those of you who didn't see it, Monica McNutt, let's talk about it, because this was Brooklyn's night all the way around. Ben Simmons, yeah, the fans were ready for him, and they showed up. But his team, the Sixers team, I should say, did not.
Yeah, they didn't. But you're seeing KD sell out here, and this foul actually went against him, but it was the energy that KD played with. You see him talking his talk. He competed from the tip throughout the entire game. And this Nets defense, I mean, they played that connected defense that they played against Charlotte. And Kyrie in particular held the opponents that he guarded to just 17%.
He played great on both ends of the floor. So did KD. KD served notice last night.
Absolutely. I know that KD missed time with an injury, but prior to that injury, he was an MVP candidate and carrying these guys before Kyrie was available at all.
How about the defense there?
Yeah. I mean, Bruce Brown, another one of these role players supporting cast for this Nets squad that I think is going to be important down the stretch.
This is what I think the most anticipated regular season game of this season. And for it to go the way it did was really remarkable. And so we bring Seth into the conversation, Zach, Monica, McNutt, and we've got Big Perk with us as well. So, Seth, we got into a pretty heated debate here earlier. If you're a big-time fan of the Sixers, right this moment, I'll get to the Nets, I promise. If you're a big-time fan of the Sixers, how much concern did last night bring you based on James Harden's history in big games and his performance last night?
It's a concern because eventually he's got to show up in a big game. Having said that, it's a fact-finding mission. It's March. You know what? They got video on tape. Now, all of a sudden, they got to say, all right, we got to give this. They got to take this away. This is how they defended and beat in the post. This is how they defended James in ball screens. We've got to move our people in places so that when James comes off that ball screen, if he's aggressive, all of a sudden, he can drag two and make a play. Mm-hmm. So, no doubt about it. Greedy. I am concerned because this is history. Mm-hmm. Eventually, if you're going to be one of the great ones in a big stage, in a big game, you've got to show up and he didn't last night.
Fair enough. So we had a lengthy debate about this earlier this hour, and at this point I wanted to move the conversation over to what I think is our next big question. And Big Perk, I will start it with you. With KD playing the way he did, with Kyrie showing up the way he did, with whatever they're going to eventually get from Ben Simmons, and a pretty good deep roster now, Monica brought up earlier. So these players, they got Seth Curry and Drummond and some of the other pieces. Did the Nets serve notice to you last night that they are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
No, Greeny, no. I mean, Kevin Durant is the best basketball player in the world, but let's not forget that they're not even in the playoffs yet. Like, they still have to win the play-in, okay? That's the first thing. And also, a couple of days ago, the Nets got handled in the Garden by Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics. But look, what they did do was they finally came together last night. They had fuel. They had their brother back, Ben Simmons. And look, this was a game that the Nets had circled on their schedule. It happens like this. But I'm not about to overreact, and I'm not about to let Monica McNutt or Zach Lowe sit up here and try to tell me that this game was the deciding factor, that the 76ers and James Harden and all this that she's about to talk about right now. Go ahead.
I'm not even going to talk. Go, Zach, just to prove you wrong.
I'm a little uncomfortable with how much I'm agreeing with Perk today because
oh, no.
team to beat is like team to beat? That's like number one seed, number two seed.
No, it's the best team. The best team with the best players.
Well, like the best team. They could be the best team. Their reality is exactly what Perk just said. They're in the play-in tournament. You're one loss from being out the door. Here's what I'll say about the Nets. They're good enough to win any playoff series against any of those teams, 4 out of 7, if they have their whole team or even if they have KD, Simmons, and Kyrie part-time. That's how good they are. But to win 3 in a row is a different story in an uphill battle.
Okay, I'm going to make a different statement. The most important person in the NBA playoffs this year is not named Durant. He's not named Giannis. He's not named Embiid. He's named Eric Adams. He is the mayor of New York City. And I don't like to conflate these two issues because this is something much more important than basketball, is what is going on in this city with vaccine mandates and all the rest of that, whichever side of it you may fall on. But the reality is what you're looking at are the only remaining games that Kyrie Irving is eligible to play this season. And what I'm saying to you, Monica McNutt, is if they do make whatever change is necessary for Kyrie Irving to wind up being able to play home games, then I would bet everything I have on the Nets to come out of the East.
I'm willing to do that as well.
Everything I have, and I have a lot. There goes Connecticut.
With
boom, it's all gone.
With Kyrie.
Listen,
they're the best team.
I don't have as much as Greeny, so it's okay.
They're in the play-in tournament.
Listen, here's the deal.
Can we make a bet? I want to get some money off you guys.
Call the Milwaukee Bucks to stop.
Okay, I was just about to say that. As it stands today, I still would take the Milwaukee Bucks. But if Kyrie Irving is available and Ben Simmons gives me 60%, I agree. I'm taking the Nets to come out of the East in terms of what they've been able to do. And we're talking about those three guys if they're the only. But it's not just
KD
one game.
KD should have beaten them by himself last year.
It's not one
by
game.
By himself,
it's
he had them dead to rights.
It's such a small sample size. It's one game. Look, here's the deal. I'll tell you what happened last night. KD wanted to make a point, and he did, all right? Kyrie Irving made plays, which made the game really easy for Seth Curry because, you know what, when those two guys are on the floor and they're in transition, you got to shrink the court, and all of a sudden Curry's going to get wide open threes. And all that stuff's great. But you know what? Right now, Kyrie Irving, you still don't know. You've got too many guys that you cannot count on every single day. You can't count on Kyrie every single day. You sure as hell can't count on Ben Simmons every single day. Ben Simmons, great defender. Let me ask you, and I say it all the time. It happened in college. It's happened in the NBA. He looked great in that Louis Vuitton jersey. Looked really good. But here's the deal. How's he going to impact when he can defend? His best position is at 5. He's going to shrink the court in terms of the spacing that these guys play with. Hey, Perk, come on.
No,
you got my
you.
Back, Perk. Come
go
on,
ahead,
let's
Perk, go,
baby.
Big right. Perk, go.
No, because you're preaching a gospel. Here's the fact, right? We could look across the board and say that the Philadelphia 76ers, right before the All-Star break, I watched them go into Milwaukee and beat them, and Joel had 42, right? The Eastern Conference is just that good. So we don't know if the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets are going to match up. Now, Is the Brooklyn Nets a good matchup for the Milwaukee Bucks? I would take the Milwaukee Bucks in that matchup. Is the Milwaukee Bucks a good matchup for the Philadelphia 76ers? No. So we don't know how things are going to pan out. And right now I'm standing with Zach Lowe. We don't know if they're going to even get into the playoffs. Yeah.
They're going to get into the playoffs.
I just want to make it clear for all of your loved ones to know. Yes. You would bet everything you have on a team that is in the play-in tournament.
Against any other team.
That has to go to Canada.
So pick the team.
Kyrie can't wait. Bet everything. I just want your loved ones to know. That's all.
First of all, Greeny said that if everybody was available and that Eric Adams
that's if Kyrie can play every
so
game.
So now we're talking about New York laws, Canadian laws for the first game. So what other law? Do we have to get the UN involved? Like, what else has to happen?
Zach, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in you, my friend, because if this team is at full strength, most basketball people have acknowledged how potent they could be. And so all of your point about Ben Simmons shrinking the floor, what he's going to give you in terms of being able to guard all five positions and push in transition matters to me. And then when we talk about the roster, I keep saying this, and nobody seems to be listening to me today. The supporting cast of the Brooklyn Nets is better than what the 76ers have. So even if you get less of Kyrie and Ben Simmons, you have to make some adjustments. Seth Curry, Bruce Brown, Andre Drummond, those guys are going to matter in these matchups.
She's exactly right, and all the rest of you are wrong. Okay, I've got to go to a break here. Big Perk, thank you. Thank you for braving all of the elements and everything else with us today. First Take is coming up top of the hour here as we will continue to argue, so will they, Monica, Big Perk, and Molly with so much more on the statement game last night. Stay with us. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Disney and Pixar's Turning Red, original movie now streaming only on Disney+. All right, it is a tradition unlike any other here on Get Up. It is big man, tiny helmet. So normally Damian Woody will smash the helmet of a team he thinks is going to lose. But because he's home, we're going to do bigger man. So Chris Canty is going to do most of the smashing. But because we have a basketball one, and because we've so enjoyed having Monica here, we're going to give you the honor of wielding the mallet.
Why, thank you, Greeny.
And so the question is, which team, the Nets or the Sixers, which one's going to go deeper in the playoffs, smash the one that's going to get knocked out first?
Woody, shout out to you for allowing me to be a part of the segment. Now, I'm going to preface my answer by saying I'm going with full strength, right? I do think that matters. And then I'm going to lean in on two guys, even if you only got one part-time, that have championship experience and have already won. So the team that's going to be out first. I'm leaning in, y'all.
I have to let Monica go to first take. Those that don't yell at me, thank you. Outstanding. Now we hand the mallet over the bigger man and tiny helmets. All right, so we got two questions for you. One, Steelers, Colts, which team more desperately needs to make a quarterback move?
Well, Mike Tomlin has a winning record with backup quarterbacks, and he's never been below 500. Mm-hmm. So I think the Colts, even though they're in the weaker division, absolutely have to have a quarterback this offseason.
Oh, Lord.
There we go.
God! Canty!
Oh, my goodness.
There's only one way to do it, right?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a defensive player. I'm used to just hitting things and destroying them.
We saved the best for last.
There we go.
So we got Rodgers, we got Wilson, the stories of the week. Which team has a better chance to win the Super Bowl this year? Smash the one that's going to get knocked out first.
Okay, so that means I am going to I'm going with the Green Bay Packers getting knocked out first.
Really?
Russell Wilson has 50 wins in one possession games. Last year, the Denver Broncos had 5 losses in one possession games. Russell Wilson is going to make the difference, so Green Bay is going to get knocked out of the playoffs first.
Oh, my goodness. That was I think.
Yeah, I said it, D-Wood.
D-Wood,
that's
it. I think he evaporated it. final word, D-Wood.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to argue too much with the big man over there.
But not when you got that, no.
The path of least resistance. The path of least resistance. Packers. Packers.
We have run out of time. Have a great weekend. First Take starts now.
Take care.